Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Lee Cantor here with James Douglas, another episode of Atlanta Technology Leaders, and we got quite a crew here today.
We have a very full house, and I'm glad to say we've got someone else from England here. Makes me feel much more
at home. We're going to save her for last.
Yeah.
The closer. So, what are you up to? How are things in Bandicoter's land?
They're very good. Although I'm more intrigued to find out why there's a birthday balloon in the office.
That
someone's got a birthday.
No, this is American tradition. We don't want to share with you. It's a private thing. You wouldn't understand.
Oh, okay. Fine. I'll move on.
Okay. So, first up, why don't we talk to Stephen Culp? Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you're with Rockfish. Is that correct?
That's right. Rockfish Digital.
And what are you guys up to?
We're a digital agency here in Atlanta. We've been in the Atlanta market about a year and a half, but we're a national agency with offices all over the country.
And then you're here with Jen Martin?
I am, indeed.
But you're separate but together.
but she's
a Rockfish person as well.
Yes.
That's right.
But she's going to talk about something totally different than Rockfish.
Well, it's kind of aligned with what we're doing. It's a program that we're a part of and sponsor, but yeah, it's not official Rockfish.
Okay, so let's talk about the Rockfish stuff.
Okay.
Because that's cool. And you're in charge of that.
Absolutely. Let's talk about it.
All right. So Rockfish is here. You're a Atlanta has a vibrant advertising and marketing community. You guys are part of it.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Rockfish and what you guys are doing and what makes you different.
I think we're a little bit different because we kind of have our roots more in technology. We're based, our background is a little bit more tech-focused mm-hmm. than a lot of other traditional marketing agencies. So we kind of like to get into the nuts and bolts of technology and see how that informs marketing a little bit more.
So when you say that, what does that mean? Like you can fix my computer too?
Not exactly fixing your computer. No, I would say it's more of a line of understanding technology and then how that would drive marketing programs. So we do all of our development in-house. We don't outsource to other partners.
Uh-huh.
We do and so we do everything from mobile development to in-store types of programs.
So you can make an app, you can make a kiosk.
We can make a kiosk. We do things like iBeacons, which are just coming out.
Right.
So we focus a lot more on technology projects than maybe a lot of other agencies. That doesn't mean that we don't do a lot of work that maybe traditional.
But you can also make a magazine ad.
We don't do a lot of print. We're almost all digital.
Uh-huh.
We would characterize ourselves as a digital agency.
So if somebody wanted an AdWords campaign, you could do that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of search, organic and paid search programs for our clients.
Do you have any tips for our listeners regarding search?
Tips for search.
How to be found.
Don't buy keywords.
That's a great one. Don't buy keywords.
Really?
I would say that, you know, find a good SEO. Find a good partner who really understands how Google works. They change their algorithms often. They change the way they do things often.
It's like their business strategy to keep changing it.
I think it may be, actually. It keeps the SEO world in business, doesn't it?
But so when you say don't buy keywords, what do you mean? What do you buy instead? Or you don't even do that?
No.
I'll let Jen answer.
Yeah, Jen. Look, you're the one who started this, Jen. Now you're in.
No, I'm saying don't buy keywords. A lot of companies, you know, pay for keywords or pay for different things, which is not always how Google wants things done. You are right into that respect that Google is always changing their algorithms and the way that they position things.
Right.
So things are 100% aligned and done properly. A couple years ago, it was people used to put keywords in a 1 pixel by 1 pixel square and, you know, make it white in the background of their page.
So
no one
knew.
Right.
Except the search engine saw it.
Yeah. And that was the whole keyword stuffing thing. And then they're like, nope, that's not allowed. So then all these companies were getting penalized for, you know, keyword stuffing their sites. And, you know, now they're buying different, you know, links or bad links through blogs that are inappropriately representing their company. So it gets them in these penalty positions, and then, you know, we come in and help clean
that up. That's job security for you, right?
Absolutely.
So if you're in a penalty situation, you should call Rockfish.
Absolutely. We actually, it's funny you say that, though. We do a lot of SEO work, especially out of our Atlanta office, and that's actually one of the problems that a lot of companies run into is that they have not been very sophisticated in the way they've approached SEO. We kind of tend to call it search science. because it really is a science around it. And then there's a little bit of art that you need to understand from working with Google closely. But we do a lot of work with companies cleaning up the mess.
Now, do you have a sweet spot in terms of companies you work with? Is there industries or is it anybody, B2B, B2C?
Rockfish is mostly catered to, across all of our offices, to CPG companies. And mm-hmm. And to retail companies. That's mostly what we do. That doesn't mean exclusively, but we right. do a lot of our work with those types of companies.
And then are there any specific brands you guys are allowed to talk about, or is it what you do on the down low?
Yeah, I can't really say that we can mention brands on the air, but we do a lot of work with many Fortune 500, 100 companies that you've all heard of.
What do they rhyme with?
You were trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
So now... how long has Rockfish been in the Atlanta market?
We've been in the Atlanta market, I guess, about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. But we've been, Rockfish has been in existence about 8 to 9 years.
Where are they headquartered?
Our headquarters are in Rogers, Arkansas.
And the digital marketing capital of Arkansas.
Absolutely, of course. and then we have other larger offices in Dallas and Cincinnati, and then Atlanta would be our kind of our fourth largest. And we also have some satellite offices in other places around the country.
So now, did they start in Arkansas to serve Walmart?
You might guess that that might be a company. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
But there's a lot of technology companies in that
in
market
that area.
For exactly that reason.
So now, you come to town here. Were you working here in another capacity here in Atlanta, or did you come from...
I came from another place to come to Rockfish. I did not start with Rockfish when they started the office. I've been here for about 3.5 months.
Oh, okay. So you're brand new here.
I'm fairly new.
You don't even know what you're getting into. Okay. So now, how do you, when an agency comes to this market, and like you said, that there's a lot of agencies here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not the only game in town, obviously. How do you immerse yourself in the community in order to really serve the community?
Well, that's a great question, and that's one of the reasons why. I mean, I've been in the Atlanta market for about 15 years. So I've worked in technology that entire time. So I think that was obviously one of the mutual beneficial
right.
things for me to come on to Rockfish. I kind of know the market, and I know a lot of people in Atlanta. It is a difficult thing. Atlanta is a tricky market, truth be told, to try to break into. But I think we have a compelling story and some compelling offerings that a lot of other agencies in town are not really kind of fitting that niche around
right.
some of the things that we've done, especially in the technology area. So it's just a matter of kind of like all good business development, getting out in town and getting our name out and meeting with different people, meeting with different organizations in Atlanta and trying to promote our name.
And then is there a pain point that your prospects have that you at least have a kind of an easy point of entry, or is it one of these things where you just got to kind of be there all the time because you never know when the needle will rise?
Well, I think there's some of that. Some of that's laying the groundwork. But I think that there's also trying to understand those solutions that those clients are looking for ahead of time, not just
right.
going there with a kind of, hey, we can do it all for you, but trying to find, kind of be hypothesis-led when you're trying to talk to clients
right.
in terms of what their pain points may
so
be.
So are you, how is the beacon technology coming into play in this?
Well,
that seems to be kind of a buzzword that I'm hearing lately that I didn't hear maybe a year ago.
It is a bit of a buzzword. There's no doubt about it. But I mean, I think we're finding that a lot of our CPG companies and a lot of our retail companies, obviously, that's a great alignment between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Is the use of beacon technologies and different ways to drive kind of in-store purchases.
Yeah, why don't we educate our listener about the beacon technology? Anybody here?
I would love to have Jen talk about that because Jen is a real beacons expert.
Really? SEO, Google AdWords, now beacons.
She can do it all.
Jack of all trades.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. So beacons, I mean, Apple kind of kicked it off with, you know, their version of a beacon.
Right.
And we're starting to see them, you know, translate through all different devices. So beacons, what they do is they, through Bluetooth energy, they provide an alert to your phone at shelf. So you can get them at different ranges. You can get them at far ranges. So maybe you just walked into a store or a stadium. You can get them in the category. So maybe you're in, you know, the household needs category within the store or right at shelf in front of that purchase point.
So now I'm the stadium.
Yeah.
Now I place the beacons.
You would have someone, you know, do that for you. But a great example is the New York Mets actually did this recently.
Okay.
So they put beacons in their stadium, and anyone that bought a ticket through, you know, their application got an alert right when they were walking up to the stadium, and their ticket appeared on their phone, so they weren't having to dig into their purses or dig into their bags and find out where this ticket was.
Right.
And so they could just scan their phone right when they walked in, and there it was. And then as soon as they got through the gate, they got another alert saying, hey, here's, you know, 20% off at a vendor. So
could it be that as I walk by that vendor, like, it's like, want a hot dog?
Absolutely. You can do that. I mean, in the stadium, it's like, how do you promote some brands over others? Obviously, your merchandise for New York Mets would probably be, you know, a priority. But do you promote hot dogs, or do you promote the Coca-Cola stand?
Well, because you can put it out, I mean, theoretically, right? You have a bunch, because in the stadium, it's kind of a food court environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So could you go to one, if one vendor goes, look, I want to be the beacon, I want to own the beacons.
Mm-hmm.
So when if I'm going by the hot dog stand, I want you to remind them that the pizza is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that it gets a little political within the stadium of who gets the priority of the messaging. But, I mean, there are other, in a simpler way where there's not a ton of different vendors inside, like Macy's, for example, is doing a really great job. They have paired, like, what I'm liking on their app and what my favorites are. So maybe I have a pink blazer that I'm looking for in the store, and I favorite it while I'm on my couch on Tuesday. Well, on the weekend, I go into the store, and it alerts me, hey, that pink blazer is here, and it's on sale. And it reminds me right in store.
Oh, wow.
There it is.
So that is game-changing technology.
And you can even have the technology show you. You can do in-store maps as well, kind of almost GPS within the store,
so
to direct
kinda
you
like
to where you at, that pink blazer may be.
And a line appears on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, there are several applications.
Right.
It's not even retail. You can use them in museums, you know, to say, hey, here's an information about this piece of artwork.
Right.
You could use it in the retail environment to give a coupon or incentive. You can use it for mapping. I mean, outside of the store, maybe you're using it for a hiking trail in a park. There's just so many applications.
So now the beacons, what are they actually? Is it just like a
beacon
piece of
metal?
It is
actually a physical. Like there are a lot of different manufacturers of beacons, but yes, it's just
like a dime-sized thing?
It comes in various small sizes, and it
really?
Just sends out that.
And they just put it like in the ceilings or on the ground or in the shelf or anywhere?
In various places, right? Well, a lot of what we talk about have been, you know, our shelf kind of location. So it actually will give you different signals as you get closer to that shelf. And maybe while you're right next to that shelf, it might show a coupon for that particular product.
Or maybe put it on your front door so you don't forget your keys in the morning. Whatever you
want. It's for the consumer as well. I guess there would be a use for it in all kinds of places.
Well, the beacon itself is probably more for the brand, but then the consumer would have the app on their phone or the device, I mean, the application on their phone, so that it would make those signals.
So Jen was saying that you could have one for your house to say, hey, don't forget your keys, or don't forget to water, you know, feed the dog.
Yeah. I mean, currently right now it has to be through an app, but I mean, you can build an app on any interface.
Right.
You can, you know, there's kits now that you can build an app overnight. So as long as you have an app, you can have a beacon so it has something to pop up. And
that's good for you guys because you build apps.
That's exactly right.
And then you, so are you having to lead your clients there, or is this something they're clamoring for?
Oh, I think clients are getting really smart about that really quickly. I mean, obviously there's some leadership there that we'd like to kind of instruct them and guide them towards some of the potentials. And we'd always like to be a little bit out front in terms of strategy, in terms of how this might impact their business. But that's not to say clients aren't there. They understand the technologies. They're pretty savvy, and they understand the implications, too.
Now, how do you stay current and stay ahead of the curve? Because you have to be just a little smarter than your clients, that's a question for everybody
in technology, isn't it? I mean, that's the hard thing to do.
It's an agency in particular, because that's what they're hiring you for, is to be smarter than
them. That's exactly right. It's a constant way of life. You have to always be on top of it.
But where
reading,
do you go for these?
Voraciously and checking your Twitter feed about 100 times a day.
So who are the thought leaders that are important to you?
The thought leaders that are
important to me? Yeah, that you follow, that you think are saying smart stuff.
That's a great question. I think people that I follow on Twitter that I'm consistently over the years look at, I think Mark Andreessen is one that I've always followed. I was on the Netscape bandwagon from a very early very early time, and I think he's continued to be on top of it. I think Zuckerberg is obviously one of those. I think, you know, Apple as a company is one that kind of leads change. You know, Apple Pay just came out, I guess, on Monday.
So
officially.
Now you're dealing with the ramifications
I'm sure we will start to deal with a lot of those ramifications very quickly. But, you know, those types of NFC technologies have been around for a really long time, and that promise of online of payment with your phone has been there for a really long time. But now that Apple's in the game,
it kind of validates,
revolutionize it.
Now, staying, kind of on the cutting edge of things, like there's a bunch of like hacker events. Are you guys involved in?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage anybody to go out there. But it's a week a delivery of a technology application.
And then under what umbrella are they hacking? Is it just is it an app? What do you want them to end up with?
I think it's pretty wide open in terms of delivery mechanism.
It's just a generic business idea.
Business idea?
Yeah, exactly. And so Rockfish is a sponsor of that, and we're going to have some people there to attend to kind of help with maybe you can get a kind of short-term mentoring. You can mentoring over a three-day period, but kind of guiding people and answering questions and helping them through the process. We actually do a lot of participate in a lot of hackathons.
Rockfish nationally does it?
With our teams, with different vendors and with different customers that we do business with.
Uh-huh.
We've participated in a lot, so we have a lot of people who are very knowledgeable about that kind of event. And if you've never been a part of it, it's a lot of fun.
So now, the people that participate, are they typically like students? Or are they any age? It's not limited to that.
No, it's not limited. But
and are they coming as a team, or they're just individuals and they kind of pair up there? How's it work?
They work in different ways. You're going to catch me with a question I don't know the answer to in terms of hack ATL.
Jen will know, don't worry.
But
Jen knows.
Exactly. But they actually can occur in different ways. Sometimes sometimes we'll send people to an event. We'll send maybe four or five Rockfish people to an event, and they split them up, and they make them work with different people.
You're there as a mentor?
But for the Hack ATL, we're there as a mentor. But then in other events, you may have a specific team for your company that just spends that whole entire time together.
And Rockfish does hackathons internally every year as well. We have
internally?
We do them in February. That work? We have small teams, and everyone signs up. We usually get a couple people.
Have you been part of one?
I have.
All right.
Did you win?
I did not win.
So walk us through what happened in the last one you were involved with.
So it started on Friday, and we only had 24 hours to put it together.
Well, because you're a Rockfish, you don't need 3 days.
Well, we're rock stars. And you had small teams, and you weren't allowed to ideate beforehand.
Small team, two, five?
Had three.
Three.
Yeah.
It was you and two other people that weren't as smart as you.
No, they were incredibly smart, actually. We don't hire anyone else.
Okay.
And we had 3 days. So our idea, we came up with this app called Grocery Hero.
Grocery Hero. Boom.
Yeah.
Jen's got an idea. Grocery Hero.
Yeah.
What do we do?
And
we write it on the wall. How's it work?
It's
a radio. We got to make word pictures here.
Well, the app essentially is something you could hand off to your kid. You put in the information before you go to the grocery store, so they're not complaining while you're trying to do your shopping, and it makes your list interactive. So it'll say, maybe the kid's name is Ben, like, hey, Ben, find the bananas. And if he found the bananas and took a picture, he gets a star. And at the end, he gets rewarded for being good.
And he has to put it in the cart.
Yeah.
He has to go get them.
Yeah. And at the end, he gets rewarded for being good while mom's trying to do her shopping. So, that was just one of the ideas. So
that's a good idea.
The winner was, location-based paying for bars. So...
bars always win. Go with the alcohol. That is
exactly alcohol over kids.
But
come on,
it was awesome.
Or pets over kids too.
Yeah, the year before actually was a digitized pet collar.
See, I tell you, alcohol, pets, kids. It sounds kids would be good, but
we had 14 ideas, and we showed them to our clients, and they were all some of them. They were like, yeah, let's try to see how we can use that with our business. But if anything, it just shows them that we're always thinking outside the box and, trying to do some different things within Rockfish.
And as a company culture, to create that kind of be okay with saying, okay, we're going to spend this amount of time on this and make this investment on our own creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an important part of Rockfish and kind of where our technology roots kind of show is doing those kinds of things. We also like to partner with a lot of startups in the different communities in which we're based. And bring those startups and our brands and our clients together, and try to find ways, interesting ways, to make those partnerships work. It's just kind of
in the DNA of the company.
And when you create an amazing app, so someone walks away from a hackathon and they think this is really awesome. Who owns the IP? Does it go anywhere after that? Or was it purely just for show?
I mean, it sometimes depends, because sometimes our amazing ideas, we end up spinning off into a new business. So as Stephen mentioned, you know, we have a very startup culture. There's a couple of businesses we've spun off from Rockfish. You Earned It was one of them, Media Multiplier. Just a couple small hackathon ideas that are also now a revenue of Rockfish. Sometimes, you know, we bring them to clients and we tweak and, you know, have a small idea that, you know, you pivot a little bit and then come up with something bigger for a client.
Cool. So that must make Rockfish kind of a different type of agency to work for.
It is. It definitely is. It has a little bit more of an entrepreneurial spirit.
Like and a kind of a startup
and
feel.
And a startup feel to
right,
it.
And that's
absolutely.
So now, what's next for you guys? You got this hackathon coming in November.
Hackathon.
What else
are
you up to?
We also have, wanted to talk a little bit about a program called Rockfish Gives Back, which is a charitable program that we're doing now. It's just started now, and we'll run through, enrollment will run through November 17th. And this is the second year we've done this, where we are donating $50,000 in agency time for two of our offices, for two different nonprofits, I should say, across four of our bigger offices. And we'll donate that time to develop a technology project for that nonprofit. So they apply for the program, they go through a process, and we evaluate those different applications and find those that really fit the bill and are really discrete pieces of work that we think we can succeed in. And,
right.
And there you go.
And then so you make it and give it to them?
We do. We donate our time to develop that project for them.
And if it's an app, then they get to use
that's
the
right.
app to
that's
raise
exactly.
money or whatever the objective of the app is?
That's exactly right.
Wow. And you've done this in the past, or this is
we
a
have.
New thing?
No, we have done it in the past. I think this is the second year we've done it, but we're expanding the program. So now this year, instead of just one, I think we're going to donate that to two different nonprofits. I think the winner last year was a...
It was Josh Cares.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on exactly what the nonprofit was for, but we helped out with a lot of their initiatives. So.
Actually, the one last year was an animal shelter.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Josh Cares as well. We helped
right.
out with, yeah.
So now, if somebody wants to learn more about Rockfish?
You go to rockfishdigital.com/rockfishgivesback.
And then
you'll find information. You'll find a download of the app for the application.
And when is the deadline? Do you know when the deadline?
November 17th.
Oh, to
and that
apply?
Will be, that, yes, that's the deadline for applications. And then we'll award that program. We'll award the winners towards the end of this year, the beginning of 2015, for the work mm-hmm. to be done in 2015.
Mm-hmm. And then, Jen, you're not here just to talk about Rockfish, are you?
I'm not.
You've got another surprise for us.
Yeah, I do.
So what is it you'd like to talk about?
An organization called Girl Develop It.
Girl Develop It, like Girl Develop It, or
yeah.
is it Girl Develop It?
Don't be shy, girl. Develop it.
So now, what is this organization?
This organization is a nonprofit. It actually started in New York, and it's geared to teach women how to do software development and coding.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how to code?
I do.
Girl?
Yes, I do.
So now, is this a Rockfish-born thing that you guys developed, or is this something you personally, or it was started in New York? So
it started in New York. I actually just moved here from Cincinnati just 5 months ago, and I took a bunch of the classes in Cincinnati. And when I moved here, I was like, I need some friends. Where's the Girl Develop It classes?
And there was no Atlanta.
There was no Atlanta chapter. So I contacted them back in April and got a chapter going. We just launched in September. So we've been open just over a month, and we just are finishing up our last series of class, or our first class had four classes within it. The last class is this week. We sold out within 2 days, but it was Introduction to HTML and CSS. In November, we'll be doing an SEO class, and then hopefully a networking event in December, and then we'll kick off a couple more classes in 2015.
So now, is this geared to adults, kids? Who is...
It's geared towards adults. It's 18 and up. While it's mostly women, we do not discriminate. You know, we have some male teachers, and male are welcome to join the class. But, yeah.
And then how many people participated the first round?
The first class, we had 20 spots open that sold out within about 2 days.
So people are hungry for this, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. And it's $80 a class. So that was 4 weeks long, and each class was 2 hours apiece. You know, we had one person drop out the day of, and within like 7 or 8 minutes, someone had snapped
filled
up the spot. And then I got emails like, why didn't you tell me that there was an open spot?
Were
and
you
like,
surprised at that type of interest?
I was. I was excited about it, and I knew that there was a passion around development, but I wasn't expecting like sellout. And then actually the day of the class, I had to turn around and tell people, four people separately, no, I'm sorry, I don't have a spot for you. I mean,
so they thought they could just show up?
Yeah, they're like, I'll give you cash right now. And I'm like,
it isn't the money. It's
yeah. Right? I mean, I would be doing them a disservice. Like, we have one teacher and then me, you know, helping out as the chapter lead. Would love to taught this time, but, you know, being a chapter lead had a lot more responsibility.
Right.
So, yeah, I had to turn them away and say, you know, I'd love for you guys to come back in January. We're teaching this class again then. But, you know, 20 is kind of our max, you know, for the room space.
Where are you doing the classes?
That's how we have a Rockfish connection. So Rockfish donated space for the launch party and the first class. And two of our teachers are from Rockfish, and they wanted to volunteer to help out to teach. So,
do you need more teachers? Like, what do you need more of?
Yeah, teachers and space. We definitely want to get a variety. We had Tom Black, who is a developer at Rockfish, teach HTML and CSS.
I know an organization that has space that might be able to help you.
Yeah. I mean, and the purpose of having different spaces is because everyone's coming from all over. And so we want
to,
you know,
to be as convenient as possible.
Be convenient. And we definitely want to diversify the teachers to get exposure to everyone. And the teachers do get paid, and that's what the money goes to, since mm-hmm. we're a nonprofit, because we realize that to get good teachers, we can't just ask them to volunteer month after month. So, yeah, we're looking for teachers. We go all the way up to Ruby. We do Python, iOS. We're looking at a WordPress class. So, I mean, there are some that are over my head even, so I need teachers
even
for those.
Jen's head.
And we were talking before the show, so as these guys know, but obviously listeners may not, Band of Coders is doing a similar project. We're starting in January, which is, again, sold out pretty much already. Just for 16 people between 11 and 14 girls to learn how to build the mobile app. But we're already talking about how we might be able to help you with that.
Yes, and I
space.
Always have people saying, can my kids come? But now,
well,
I
now
know
you
where
have
to,
a
send
place
them.
To send them. Right?
Yeah.
Now, what makes girl development different than the other coding? I mean, there's a million. You can go online and do Code Academy. There's a million learn to code.
I think
things.
It's because it's fairly cheap classes and it's great teachers, but it's also giving you that personalized attention. You have that one-on-one interaction. I mean, sitting in front of the computer, if you don't get something, you're just stuck. And
you
a
just
lot
stop doing it and go on YouTube.
Yeah.
And
a lot of the girls in our class were like, I started, I bought the books, I, you know, took the classes online, and I just got, you know, frustrated and I quit. And so they're like, this is great. We have someone that's giving us homework assignments that are forcing us to do things. We're going to Code and Coffee, which is a free event that we host.
Code and Coffee.
Yeah. We go to a coffee bar. It's free. And it's a we sit for about 3 hours, and the girls can work on their personal projects, work on homework, come just learn about the classes, and we'll go around and help them as needed.
Now, do you find that the people participating help each other? Is that that
we
kind
do,
of
a lot.
Environment? Or I always picture like a coder by themselves.
No, it's very group oriented. People are asking questions, and it's actually really inspirational. A lot of these girls are changing their careers. They're, you know, I used to work at a railroad, and, you know, I'm realizing that I can't do that anymore, and I want to get into programming. We had another woman who was 50 years old, and, you know, she decided to get into iOS development and now has an app in the App Store. And
like, do you have to be like a math genius to do this?
Absolutely not. We have, you know, a girl in the class that she has a bakery and wants to create a website for the bakery. So she joined the class. Another one that's getting her folk duo up online. Mm-hmm. Some other graphic designers that just want to take the next step to be more versatile, you know, in their industry. So
how smart do you have to be?
Like,
you have to be good at anything? Like, you have to be good at English or good at logic?
I think you just have to have a passion for learning and a willingness to keep
going.
Is it
like a foreign language?
No, absolutely not.
It's easier than a foreign language.
I would say. I mean, I took Latin in high school, and I don't remember any of it.
But you can code.
I can code.
So now, when you did this in Cincinnati and you did it here, was it the same experience for you, or was it different?
It's definitely
as
different.
As a leader, I guess you were a participant in Cincinnati?
I was a participant in Cincinnati. It's definitely different from a leadership perspective. I mean, after every class, I'm continuing to be inspired by these girls that are telling me, oh, I just opened a shop on Amazon, and I'm selling medical equipment, and I just made $3,000 last week. And I'm like, what? What are you doing? She's like, you saved me $500 in this coding class because I would have had to, you know, hire a developer to do something, and now I know how to do it myself. So, I mean.
So you can learn something that in that short period of time that is that useful that quickly?
Yeah. I mean, after a prime example, in the Cincinnati class, we had a situation at Rockfish where they needed to edit, you know, an email newsletter for someone. And I just did it on the fly for them because, you know, we needed it. And they're like, oh, Jen can code. So, I mean,
Jen
like
can code. Add it to the list of things Jen's now responsible for.
Yeah, it seems to be growing these days.
Can you code, James?
I can't code, but I can build websites. So it's kind of the poor boy's choice.
So a website isn't coding?
It's
maybe
just
an
different.
Out of a box solution?
Yeah, maybe like with templates. Yeah, I can amend.
He picks the colors.
Oh. Man, Jen is.
She takes no prisoners, this one.
Well, we're out of time,
yeah,
Jen.
This is going to wrap up now.
So now, if somebody wants to learn more about Girl Develop It, where can they go?
GirlDevelopIt.com.
Oh, really? So that's the national website, and it would drill you down back to the Atlanta chapter?
Yes. And then to sign up for all the classes, you can find Girl Develop at Atlanta on the meetup page.
Mm-hmm. And is that where the first step would be for somebody if they're interested? Go to the meetup maybe and talk to somebody?
Absolutely. Or they can email me at jenm@girldevelopit.com.
There you go. And then I want to get the coordinates for Rockfish if you have a client or somebody interested in learning more about your services. Stephen, where should they go?
RockfishDigital.com.
Okay, great. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm beaten down here. I'm just trying to recover my confidence.
I think you'll be fine.
They were very nice colors. That's all I'm saying.
He's very sensitive. So you want to introduce the next guest?
So the next guest...
She's British.
She is.
I thought you guys bonded.
We did. This. I'd like to introduce Sarah. I'm going to pronounce your surname poorly, I'm sure. Tourville?
Tourville.
Yes,
Tourville.
Yes, and Sarah is the CEO of Media Frenzy. And I've only just met, but it's already very, very clear that she's done an awful lot within a very short amount of time in Atlanta. Over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarah,
for the introduction.
What are you up to?
Well, I am the CEO of Media Frenzy Global, if you don't mind.
Sorry.
Global.
We have an office in London. We do work in Europe. And we now have an office in Alpharetta. But unfortunately, I'm not here to speak about Media Frenzy Global.
You're here to talk about Greater Alpharetta Tech Network.
That's correct. Another, well done. You got that right.
Another network of techies.
Another network of techies, but the only network of techies for the Greater Alpharetta area.
That's right. And Alpharetta is nothing to sneeze about, right? That is the hub of technology in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta doesn't like to admit that. Mm-hmm. But that's where
Atlanta's
a lot of the
starting to admit it. I was at the recent... Mobility Live event, and they were recognizing that Alpharetta it's impressive what's happening. More than 900 technology companies in the greater Alpharetta area. You know, some phenomenal companies there, like Fiserv and Microsoft going in, and, you know, there's a lot happening. It's exciting.
So now, do you know some of that kind of stats on Alpharetta?
You don't want me to hold
just general, like, because Alpharetta, like you mentioned, 900 companies. I think we had the Alpharetta economic development guy in one of the shows, and
Peter Tucker, and
he said that it's equivalent to Greenville.
Okay.
Like that, just Alpharetta by itself is equivalent to the activity.
He knows the stats way better than I do because that's what he's talking about every day. But I mean, it's a growing number. Just in Alpharetta, there's 600. And then you go outside of Alpharetta, there's about another 300 or 400 technology companies. And they've mainly been, I think in the past, Alpharetta's been known to be more of a large enterprises have gone to Alpharetta.
Right.
But that is all starting to change. We're starting to see a lot more startups coming to the area. You know, great cost of living, you know, great houses, good for families. It's a really good environment. So we're seeing more and more companies come into the area. To start their new technology company. So it's fantastic. And we felt at the Karen Cashin and myself, Karen Cashin is the president of the GATN. Her and I initially started talking about the idea of creating some type of engaging kind of networking opportunity, but more than networking, like bringing together two technology professionals. You have to be in technology. You cannot be a service provider, unfortunately. But bring together technology companies who can help foster, you know, helping them to foster relationships, learn about how other technology companies have been successful, why are they successful in the area, and just to kind of give them that platform to learn from each other.
And so that was the genesis of the idea?
That was the genesis of the idea.
So you had this idea. Was it just you two who had the idea?
Well, Karen Cashin, I can't really claim it was mine. Karen Cashin came to me and said, what do you think of the idea? And I had not been very long in the U.S. I'd come from England and was still figuring my way around. But I knew from me, my background's technology. I've been running a technology agency for 8 years. And I, you know, for me, the idea of creating something, I knew that there was this I could feel the atmosphere in Alpharetta. You could feel that everywhere you were going, there was more technology entrepreneurs you were meeting. And so to me, it was just an obvious next step. So to be part of it, I was like, of course I want to be part of this.
So you said, and you got to be co-founder.
I got to be co-founder with her. So
she
she's
don't
president.
Like to take the credit.
No, she's the main lady.
If you would have said, no, that's not a good idea, then it probably would have died. Without you, it wouldn't have happened.
I mean, our agency does all the marketing for it, so digital and traditional PR as well. And but, I mean, it survives because of the people on the board. There's a great board, and everybody wants it to work.
You're so humble. Is that a British thing, this humbleness?
We'd like to think so.
You'd like to think so?
Don't know. But it's fun as well. I mean, our events have been fun,
so
and they're getting better.
How long has it been around?
1 year.
1 year.
And that's not even been... Actually, we didn't open the doors until May of this year. So
oh,
we
so
launched...
it's only like 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And how many members have you got?
We are close to about 70 members. Yeah. So it's still fairly, you know, new. It's like creating your own startup. It literally is. So, you know, we have a target. We wanted to get to 100 by the end of the year. And it's
so
growing every
it
day.
For but sure. You're going to make it.
Are we going to make it?
This radio show is heard by millions.
Yeah. That's why
look, I bet you they join. You'll get two right out of this room.
If only we were in Alpharetta.
Yeah, you need to move.
Right. Oh, you have to be in Alpharetta?
Yes, you have to have an office
it's
space.
Kind of in the
title.
You
have to go to Alpharetta. Exactly.
Well, you remember a tag.
Yeah, but tag doesn't tie. I mean, that's Atlanta, the wider Atlanta.
Oh, okay,
but,
so you can change the definition of Atlanta.
Atlanta gets to take
that's
credit
true,
for everything.
You're right. Maybe
but Alpharetta, no.
Right, maybe we should think about that.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was this kind of a prestigious selective group.
But at the same time, if it is under 100 people, for many people, that's probably an added advantage because it's not some huge piece where you'll not be known. It's somewhere you quite clearly could be known quite quickly and add value. So I think it's probably only in its favor.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. And we also offer like sponsorship opportunities. So there's a lot of tech companies.
You'll take that Atlanta money.
They'll take that. They're not in Atlanta. These guys are in Alpharetta. That's the difference. But yeah, we give them all this promotion. They have a speaker platform, some of them. They get to meet people. It's, I mean, we've had so many people after we do an event basically tell us like how many new people they met, and people have done deals at this event. They literally are, you know, it's becoming a money making machine, but it's a machine to help people grow. And hey, if you can win a new client from coming to our event, that's worth coming to.
Absolutely. So yeah. When was the last meeting?
The last meeting was in September. We had Todd Harris, the COO of Hi-Rez Studios, speak, and he was wonderful, talking about his gaming production that he does and all about coding. You know, and that was very, very interesting. And we have another event coming up, Avalon. Everyone's talking about Avalon right now, and Avalon's about to go live at the end of this month. So we're holding our event at Avalon on November the 6th.
Okay, so now what happens at the event? You have a speaker?
Mm-hmm. We have North American Properties speaking, who are the people behind Avalon. And we have Hotwire Communications as well, who are the people responsible for the gigabit technology. So we wanted to... We felt it was important because there's so much buzz around Avalon, and it's, you know, there's lots of other reasons why it's supposed to be phenomenal, but the gigabyte technology is meant to be the piece which is going to be the future-proof piece for new businesses. And so it's going to give these businesses the opportunity to really be, to work much faster, much more effectively with phenomenal download speeds. So we just felt that was a story for our technology community. They want to hear that.
Sure. So. And then so there's education, and then...
There's education, there's fostering new relationships, there's learning from other people. I mean, it's about coming away and being just, you know, insightful about, you know, for example, when Todd Harris spoke, or when we had David Cummings from Pardot speak, and obviously now is
Tech Village.
Yeah, the Atlanta Tech Village. Listening to his story, and I'm sure many of you have heard his story, but he's a very humble guy. And listening to his story, the number of people in the room which I spoke to just... You know, they took tips away. For example, you know, his tip was the fact that he went to Georgia Tech and he hired Georgia Tech graduates, and, you know, he had them on board with him from the very beginning. And, you know, that might sound obvious to some people, but other people haven't thought about going down that road. They've gone down the recruitment road and they've, you know, used a recruitment agency, right. And it's been expensive. And not to say that we should be underpaying for good services too. And David Pardot didn't do that. He leveraged the best expertise he could. And those learnings, you could see people in the room nodding their head.
Right, that made sense.
That made sense to them. So.
Like, you only work with British people, right?
That's not true. There's no British people in my company.
Is that an accident or on purpose?
I haven't met many British people since I've been here.
We are very, very seldom found. Yeah.
And I've met someone actually with a posher accent than me.
No, I actually don't think that's true. Either that or I'm putting it on because I'm trying to keep up with you. That would be the only
reason. I can hear the Queen's English, though.
Well, you know, I don't talk about granny much, you know.
You guys.
Yeah, it's funny.
Okay, so now...
In-house British humor.
Okay, inside stuff happening. Yeah. I don't even know what's going on. So now, you have these meetings every month.
No, every...
Every other month?
3 months. That's going to be changing.
Okay, so you're doing more often, right?
Yeah, because these meetings are pretty significant meetings. So and we've only have a board of about 11 board members. So that's going to be changing. Our intent next year is to start doing a large event, the same thing every quarter, but starting to create more technology tracks. So we're going to have different tracks to support the different types of people in the community. So, and that's something we're really just brainstorming now. We have an educational team that we're putting together to start looking at what are the needs of the people in the community. Yeah, obviously investment is an obvious track. We're probably going to have some type of financial investment, financial protection. It's just looking at what are the needs.
Right. And so you're going to poll your members and then see what they want to need and then try to deliver it back to them.
Definitely.
And you guys want to...
We want to get them involved as well. I mean, even though we have a board, we're open to...
Well, you need their help.
We need their help
doing
to make
the work,
it happen.
Right?
Well, I was thinking.
You're only
one
person.
And when
ideas.
And you're only the first year right, into it. So I'm assuming this is mainly a relational piece. It's not like there's a clever website behind this.
There is a clever website.
So they can have community through that format?
Definitely. And that, I mean, right now we just have the website is going to be much more engaging than it is. We have a website. It's gatnconnect.org. You can sign up for events. You can become a member on it. You can pay for it online. It's pretty... it's sophisticated in that way, but we're going to be offering more kind of areas for education, white papers, blogs, areas where people can learn about coding. We're going to be working with different universities to actually pull together some really good content to help teach people on different areas of technology.
Have you set up beacons at tag meetings so that when they go by, it says, hey, you should join Alpharetta.
Well, for your Alpharetta network. Somebody who can help you with that, by the way.
Well, one of our clients is called Two Canoes. Do you know Two Canoes? They do beacon technologies. The gentleman, Tim Perfect, came from Apple. So we've been pushing for him to bring the Two Canoes into it. But to do beacon technology, we need to have a better sophisticated website, I think, to handle it. So we're getting there.
You're getting there step by step.
Yeah.
And so next year, it seems like there's going to be a lot more activity.
Oh, yeah. I'm expecting it to be busy.
What's most rewarding for you putting this together? Because it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Most rewarding is when you get there. And you see people nodding their heads and happy and learning and engaging. And I mean, there's a little bit of a euphoria happens, honestly. People are like, wow, this is happening on your doorstep. I mean, I drive around Alpharetta, and it's the same in Atlanta. I'm not trying to put Alpharetta above anywhere else. But you literally, I mean, you just are surprised by the amount of intelligent, clever people in technology that there are. And so when you bring them together in a community like that, it's like, wow, I mean, this is happening on our doorstep.
Right.
And the innovation which is coming out across payments and mobile healthcare and just so many different areas, it's something for us all to be proud of.
And you're happy you don't have to drive because traffic's brutal.
I don't want to go to Atlanta.
Exactly.
I have to drive 10 minutes to my office, so things are good.
Just for that. And if somebody wanted to learn more, the website?
Yes, so it's gatnconnect.org.
gatnconnect.org. Mm-hmm. Did you get that, James?
I think you felt like you needed to say that so that the rest of the American audience could understand.
I
had to translate
did I not
it
say
into
it well?
American.
Your Southern is not strong enough.
No,
yeah.
No,
they wouldn't have got that website.
No. You're welcome. Just a thank you. That's all I ask.
Thank you on behalf
thank
of the English
very much.
Audience.
All right, James, let's wrap this up. Thank you all so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It was great.
And thank you, James.
No, thank you.
For having Band of Coders underwrite the show, because if they did not, this show would not exist. So thank you.
It's our pleasure.
This is Lee Cantor for James Douglas. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Technology Leaders.
Atlanta Technology Leaders is brought to you by Band of Coders. Band of Coders is a company of talented software developers who energize clients' projects and their development teams.